he made rabbinical laws of Shabbat to strengthen Shabbat. So it's possible a person will keep Shabbat according to the letter of the law, but not the spirit of the law. So that's very important, to keep the spirit of the law as well as the letter of the law. So same thing applies in monetary cases. Technically this may be mine, but there's no midah of going against one's forgiving and forgetting. Person's got to forgive a little bit. We talked about the Chafetz Chaim. We said he opened a grocery store, remember? The grocery store, and he gave a little bit extra. He didn't want to give a little bit less, so he gave a little bit extra weight. He was Ma'avir Midotav. That's called Ma'avir Midotav. A person should be, give a little extra. So when a person sells something, give a little bit extra. This way, it's definitely not stealing. So he'd go extra. And that's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying they would keep the strict letter of the law, they wouldn't go a little bit extra. So a person says, you know, how much chesed do I have to give? 10% tzedakah? Okay, 10%. I'm not going to give a cent extra. So that's the midah of midat adin in a sense. And that attracts midat adin. Being exact attracts midat adin. A person should always give a little bit extra. A little bit more pleasure. A little bit more extra. A person should go beyond the requirements of the law. And that's how we keep Yerushalayim going. We're on page 27. And we said that the Torah compares man to trees. The truth is that man is a tree which is upside down. Why? Where are our roots? In heaven. The roots of our souls are high up in the heavens. And the fruits of the tree are our deeds. What we do with the tree, deeds of the tree. That's our fruits. So we don't think about that. We think about, you know, our tree is we're growing upwards. The truth is we're growing downwards. And the roots of our trees go all the way up to the heavens. But if a man is like a tree, we need fertilizing, and we need pruning, and this is the hardest part of raising ourselves. We talked about yesterday about Yitzhak Avinu. We said the Gemara says that the forefathers, Avraham Avinu, viewed the Beit HaMikdash as
a
mountain. Yeah, mountain. He says, "Enze elahara ze elahara Moriah." He was going elahara Moriah. He viewed it as a mountain. Yitzhak viewed it as a field, and Yaakov viewed it as a Enzeki and Beit Hashem, a bite, a house. So, what's the difference? So, Avraham Avinu had to struggle hard to achieve what he did. It's like climbing a mountain. Can you imagine climbing a mountain? Avraham Avinu was climbing a mountain. He was the only believer of God for hundreds of miles. It's from Ur Kasdim till Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was Shem. He had Shem over the yeshiva of Shem. He believed in God. He was the only believer in one God. For hundreds of miles radius, and he did a complete revolution. He changed a lot of people. He changed their life, changed their belief system. And it's thanks to him till today. They're still talking about Avraham Avinu, the founder of monotheism. National Geographic, they had many years. Every 5 years they came out with this new title, Abraham, father of three religions, or father of monotheism. So Avraham Avinu changed the world. He was climbing a mountain. Yitzhak Avinu was like a field. What do you mean like a field? It says he was involved in changing himself. Yitzhak Avinu, main Avodah, was himself. That's what you see from the stories. He was mainly involved in himself. Yaakov Avinu was a bayit. When he was a bayit, he was involved in his household, which is his children. He's been talking all his children. So we have to change ourselves. Our trees, we are like a tree. So a person knows you have a child, you have to tend the child, you have to prune the child, you have to fertilize the child, you have to put everything to the child. Otherwise, the child will grow wild. Right? You plant a rose bush, what happens if you don't tend it? Disaster.
It'll become spindly, actually, in a way.
Yeah, you have to keep pruning it.
And it'll be subject to parasites.
There you go. So that's the point. The point is a person's going to keep tending. And so if we're like trees, we have to tend ourselves. We have to fertilize ourselves. What do you mean fertilize ourselves? What we're doing right now, we're fertilizing the tree. How? We're putting something into the tree. Something good for the tree. Nourishment for the tree. Spiritual nourishment for the tree is the Torah. So spiritual nourishment, what we're doing right now. How do we prune the tree? Changing our midot. It's very hard. Boy, that's the hardest part of it. That's the hardest part of it. I can talk to you about keeping my temper over and over again. When I go home, oh boy, that's a different ball game. And when it becomes practical and you're tired and you're exhausted and you keep, someone bugs you, that's when, you know, all it takes is one trigger. Boom. And then the person explodes. So it's very easy to talk. The hardest part is pruning the tree. Pruning the tree is getting rid of the extraneous mass, which are the bad traits. Because those bad traits are, we have to cut them off. We have to get rid of the extra bad traits. So pruning, person's got to be careful. The fertilizing, we have to put the good things in. And the main thing is to grow the fruit, which is a mitzvot. We grow our fruit, that's the mitzvah we do. The things we do is the fruit of the tree. The children we have is the fruits of the tree. Make sure our fruits will be. Who is the one? I can't remember the name of the rabbi. He sat under the tree. Remember this story? He sat under the tree. Ilan, Ilan. He says, the tree, tree, watch, how will I bless you? You got beautiful shade. You got beautiful. I hope that all the produce that you'll have, all the trees that come for you, will be like you. So that's what we have to do. Our mission is to have children. Will be small. Continuation. Avraham Avinu had a child. Unfortunately, he had two children. One went off, one went in. Yitzhak Avinu has two. Same thing. Yaakov Avinu was perfect. He knew how to raise his children. He knew how to fertilize the trees. He knew how to prune. He knew how to tend the trees. So we have to tend our trees, whatever we produce. So we have to realize also, our children are not just our physical children. Our children are also our deeds. Our deeds are also our children. Mitzvot we do is also our children. How do we know? It says, Ele told Noach, Noach is Sadiq. These are the children of Noach. Noach was a Sadiq. Hey, where's his children, Rashi says. So Rashi answers, because his deeds are also his children. Our deeds are also our children. Yes?
So if we look at the Avos, then it's a little depressing. Because I know it's going to say, okay, you look at the Avos, and even the Avos had children that were difficult. But if you just say, like...
Yeah, but look at the peer pressure in those days. Let me tell you, there's no yeshivot in those days. Think about it. You're going to raise a child, no yeshivot. All you're surrounded by is pagans. Now think of the chances of raising that child properly. You have to really shelter that child. Once a child... Some kids you can't shelter because they're out in the streets. Ishmael was out in the streets. Esau was out in the streets. He wasn't a... Yaakov was Ishtam Yoshevo Alim. He was inside the tent. So there you can influence him. But the kids who are running around, you can't influence them. Like you have the same problem today. The kids who are running around, they don't want to stay in the yeshiva. Yeah, how are you going to influence them? It's very hard to influence them. Some kids can't sit still. You have the problem. ADD, ADHD, all these issues today. And these guys had ADD, ADHD. You see, Ishmael was wild and Esau was wild. What do you want them to do? So they have to have a facility for them. You have to be able to train them. Hanoch Lenara Pitarko, which is Rav Samson Rufal Hirsch, says on the parasha. He says they never gave Esau a special training which he needed. Vocational training. Well, Yitzhak did try to do that. He tried to mold Yitzhak, Esau, how? Go, you want to hunt? Hunt for me. Do mitzvah kibud avayim through your hunting. He tried to channel his energies into positive things. But it's very hard. They never had the facilities that we have today. So we have yeshiva. We're lucky. You know, we have peer pressure. We have groups. We have children's groups and other groups, whatever. So the kids can. But in those days, you're raising one child. Where? So Yaakov Avinu had his own youth group. He had his own youth group. He had 13 kids, his own youth group. Hopefully they're doing the right thing. But even then, there was cracks in his youth group. You know, different mothers and different rivalries and things going on. So, but it's hard to raise a child in the middle of nowhere. That's the hard part. You go into the boondocks. A Jew moves to, say, a small village somewhere where there's no one else around and tries to raise his children. You're bound to lose one or two. You're bound to. It's very hard.
I know some couples that went out on Kiruv. They are out. But they take a commitment and they have to come home when their children get there.
But it depends. So Chabad, what they do is they send their children to 7-7. They go to Crown Heights. Send the kids to Crown Heights. I'm saying, I had the same issue. I was in Vancouver, so we had two issues. Either we could move back or move the kids somewhere else. So those are the issues. It's very hard to raise a child in a vacuum. It's very hard. So that was the problem. So we say, how come the Avot failed? They didn't fail. They just had children who couldn't stay still, and they couldn't keep them inside. They were running around. They couldn't. So they were outside with their peers, and they followed their peers. It's just hard. The temptation is too great. Okay, so it's interesting that human beings are compared to trees, not vegetation. Because the difference is that vegetation has to be planted every year. It's an annual, and trees are perennial. Trees are there annually, but they need much more work. Big difference. Okay. And then we talked about the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says that there's more to the Torah than just 613 mitzvot. What is it? What else is there in the Torah? More than 630 mitzvot? And the answer is ethics. Bereshit only has 3 mitzvot in it. So why do we need a whole book of Bereshit? That's Rashi's question. First question Rashi asks in the Chumash is, the Torah should really start from Parsha Bo, from mitzvah of HaChodesh HaZelechem, Rosh Chodesh. Why does it start? Is it a law book? So Rashi says, he gives a different reason. He said, because no, the Torah has to tell us that we have an inheritance in Eretz Israel. God was the one who created the world. If the non-Jews come along and they say we're robbers like they are today, they have to say, hey, well, God gave us the world. He created the world, and He gave us the land of Israel. So the whole Rashi says the whole purpose of Bereishit. The whole purpose of Bereishit, Rashi says, is to give us a right to Eretz Israel. The whole purpose of the whole Bereishit, according to Rashi, the whole purpose of the whole Bereishit to the Parsha Bo is to tell us we have a right to Eretz Israel. Amazing. Imagine the whole book is because it's like a testament that we own Eretz Israel. Sorry.
There would be no framework if it started with Bo. There would be no basis on which to...
Well, it just have a little short history, you know, with forefathers. That's it. But why go through all accounts like Yitzhak Avinu is digging wells, and what's going on? Do we need this? That's Rashi's question. And the answer is, Vilna Gaon asks the same question. Vilna Gaon says, there's ethics to be learned from these stories. There are morals and ethics that you cannot just legislate. The most effective tool for teaching is stories. Most effective tool for teaching. It's amazing. Hashem gives this gift. How are you going to reach children if you don't tell them stories? They learn these stories, and we have to bring out the morals in these stories. When we teach these stories in yeshiva, they have to bring out the morals of the stories, the ethics of the stories, and that's how the children learn. You tell them a story. By the way, Rav Avadia Yosef was one of the greatest at telling stories. He had a story for every occasion. And here's this Gaon. If you read his books, he's a Gaon. This guy's a genius. But he knew how to lower himself to the masses by telling stories. So... I'm going to be talking at OE on the 16th about Rav Avadia Yosef, and I'm going to bring out some of the stories he used to say. It's a very nice stories. 8 o'clock, I think it's on the 16th, but I'm sure they're going to broadcast it about Rav Avadia Yosef on Shloshim. We're also going to have an event here next Shabbat, Kiddush in his memory for the Shloshim of Rav Avadia Yosef. So he had a story for every occasion. So the Torah is giving us stories, beautiful stories, to bring out the ethics and the morality and to give us this example, role models. Who do we follow? These are role models. So how do we follow them? And it also tells us how to be practically a Jew. A person has family problems, a family issue. It's all in the Torah. Family issue, how to deal with children, how to not deal with children. We learn from their strengths and we learn from their mistakes as well. The Torah does not hesitate to tell us their mistakes. You know how much... If I had a magic wand, I would erase this whole parasha of Toldot, of Yaakov tricking his father. You know how much anti-Semitism that caused over time? All the nations of the world say, look, in their own book, look, they're tricksters by nature. A Jew is a trickster. It caused so much anti-Semitism. And the Torah does not mince words. The Torah tells us this is who we are. This is what we have to do. This is our test. We have a test. How to fix ourselves and rectify ourselves. And so we have to learn from these stories, from the strengths, from the mistakes. But without the stories, it's just legislation, like American law. It's very dry, unless you're a lawyer. It's very boring and very tedious. Right? But how's a layman going to learn from it? He doesn't. He goes to the lawyer and says, what can I do? What can I do? I'm in trouble. Now tell me how to get out of it. But he doesn't. There's no stories. There's no examples. There's nothing to follow, in a sense. There's nothing live. Judaism makes Judaism alive. The Bible makes the Torah alive. The living Torah is a walking Torah. That's the human being who keeps the Torah, is a walking Torah. That's the famous story. It says Yitro comes to the camp of Israel and he sees two boxes being picked up and lifted and carried. He says, what's in those boxes? He says, well, that box is the Torah. And what's in the other box? That box is the bones of Yosef. He says, the bones of Yosef. The bones of Yosef should be way behind the Torah. Why are you putting it on the same level? You're carrying them at the same speed at the same time. So because this one kept what this one has written. So there's a living Torah, and there's a dead Torah. So the living Torah is, if we keep the Torah, we're the living Torahs. A living Torah should have much more honor. You know, Rav Avadia Yosef was passed by, he passed by like this. You know why? Because they're all kissing his hand. They're like kissing the Torah. I mean, that's how it's to give respect to the rabbis. They would kiss their hands all the way. I mean, he was just, you should see the pictures. He was besieged. I mean, I don't know how he just walked through and everyone's kissing his hand. It was like kissing a Torah. You're kissing a living, walking Torah. The knowledge was amazing. So, that's what the Torah is telling us. The book of Bereishit, Sefer Yashar, the book of uprightness, is the conduct of the patriarchs, their servants, and how Hashem wants us to behave. Emulate them. Be like Abraham. Be like Sarah. Be like Yitzhak. Be like Rivka. Be like Yaakov. Be like Rachel and Leah. And that's what we have to learn from there. So, Abraham Avinu prays for the inhabitants of Sodom. I mean, I can't even imagine doing that. I can't imagine doing that. How could you pray for these evil people? And the answer is, he was saying to Hashem, he says, What happens to this 10 tzaddikim? Don't kill the good with the bad. That's something we can pray for. Hashem, don't destroy good people with bad people. Unfortunately, that happens. If there's a gezeira on the world, it's interesting. I saw a beautiful Zohar. The Zohar says an amazing thing. It says, when Hashem wants to destroy the world, the tzaddikim go with them, Rashaim. But sometimes Hashem loves some tzaddik, and he sends him a present. So guess what the present is? He said the present is a poor person to do chesed to save that tzaddik, give him extra merit to be saved. The present Hashem sends that person is an opportunity for chesed. That's a present. When a person has an opportunity for chesed to help someone, we've got to view it as being a present from Hashem. It's totally opposite of the way we think. We think that we're giving the present. No, Hashem is giving us a present. The opportunity for chesed is a present. You have an opportunity to visit someone, a sick person, to go and do nichum avilim. All these opportunities, Hashem's giving us a gift. Every opportunity for a mitzvah is a gift Hashem gave us. We have to view these things as opportunities and not, another bother. Yeah, this guy's bothering me. And that's the way we look. Sometimes it's just too tedious. But every one of them is an opportunity. So sometimes it's better to give less and give more people than give a lot and give a few. That's what I say. Give a less and give a few. So there was a guy, I talked about him before, his name was Shehebar. Gabriel Shehebar. He lost his money. He was in Egypt. He lost his money. He went to Cuba, made money. He lost his money again, came here. He was in his 50s and he was a pauper with five children. 50s. He works in a store putting things on the shelf. Imagine. Laborer. Eventually, the guy in the store says, I want to retire. I need to sell my store. He says, I'll buy it from you. But you don't have any money. I'll pay you in installments. He said, okay. From that one store became Rainbow Stores. Rainbow Stores. And all he did in his old age was giving out tzedakah. It's just their rain checks. So he writes small checks. $18. So I went to him once with a guy from the yeshiva. I said, please help him. Give him $100. I said, can't you give him more? He says, do you know how many checks I wrote today? A thousand checks today. So $18, 1,000 checks is $18,000. So lines of people outside. He's giving out money. And the guy's giving out, just what he does, write checks. The guy comes in, I need money. Okay, $18 here.
Isn't it nervy to say to somebody, can't you give more? Isn't it nervy to say to somebody, can't you give more rather than say thank you?
Well, I waited 2 hours. Come on, give me a... So the answer said, he answered very nice. He said, listen, if you're the only one who came, I'll give you much more. Sure. You're not the only one.
When Adam davened for Stone, he was saying if there's even 10 tzaddikim, not just to save the tzaddik, to save the whole town in their merit.
You're right.
I mean, how do you explain things?
The answer is because if you have 10 tzaddikim, they can change the town. But they have to be... I'll tell you why. Because it has to be 10 tzaddikim betocha ir, in the midst of the city, which means they're the ones trying to save the city. In the midst of the city means they're involved with the city. They're trying to save the city. There's no 10 tzaddikim trying, they're not doing outreach. 10 tzaddikim is not going to help.
You're saying in all the times of history during...
I'm not saying. I don't know. Hasr Shalom. I'm not saying it. I don't know. Listen, Hashem's ways are... It's one of the biggest mysteries. But basically, I mean, the Holocaust, you have to say Hashem just walked away. We're in the situation of Hester Panim. Thank God now it's getting better. Thank God, Baruch Hashem. It was Hester Panim from the time of Esther. Hester Panim is, Hashem says, I'm fed up of you. You look for me now. I did this for you. You read the prophets. I was just reading yesterday, who was it? Amos, I think it was. Amos. How you Jewish people, Yaakov, I'm sick of you, Yaakov. I did this for you, and look what you did to me in return. We don't realize the Pesel Micha was still going from the time of David HaMelech all the time to the end of the first Commonwealth. Pesel Micha was there. David HaMelech didn't smash it. I don't understand why. I don't know why he didn't smash it. Hester Panim. Hidden face. Hashem's face is hidden from time. That's where the word Esther came from. Anochi Haster Astir Panai Mehem. I will hide my face, Hashem says. So now you have to look for me. So when Hashem's face is hidden, it's very dangerous for Jews. It's the dark ages. Hashem's face is hidden. Now we're seeing a little bit of Hashem's face in terms of providence, divine providence, amazing miracles we're witnessing today. We just don't really realize it, that these things are miracles. That Israel is living in a bubble right now. Look around us. The Arab Spring became the Arab Summer. It's madness going on around us. And Israel is just quiet. Baruch Hashem, just Hashem should help us and protect us, and the bubble should not burst. That's it. We should pray every day. The bubble should. We're living in a force shield. Israel is like in a force shield, Baruch Hashem, a million times. And we have troubles and everything, and still, Baruch Hashem, look around us, we're very lucky. Baruch Hashem. That miracle should continue like that. We'll all witness the Geula Shlema, really. It's coming. It's coming. It's in the... You can feel it. It's in the air. The Geula Shlema is coming. We're the lucky generation. We're really lucky generation. The rabbis used to pray. Can you imagine? The rabbis used to pray in those days not to witness Hevle Mashiach. We saw Hevle Mashiach. The Holocaust of Hevle Mashiach. They realized that. They prayed not to witness, I don't be around Hevle Mashiach. The birth pangs of the Mashiach are the worst times. Hopefully that was it. Hopefully we witnessed through the birth pangs. And now that we're going through the birth, this is the birth process. Imagine praying not to be around the Hevle Mashiach. The rabbis, they knew how bad it's going to be. Hevle Mashiach. So it says, a person needs Suda Shishit, is saved from Hevle Mashiach. Oh, Bezra Hashem. Gog Magog. Bezra Hashem is saved. Just eat that Suda Shishit very well every day, every week. It's getting harder and harder. The day's getting shorter.
Well, next week is...
So make sure you eat your Suda Shishit.
Do you need to have Lechem Mishnah?
If you want to really survive, yes, do everything. Oh, Lechem Mishnah, do everything. Why not? The best. All right, so 630 commandments. What else? And the answer is, there's more to it than just keeping commandments. It's not just a dry religion. It's not just a legalist thing. And that's the trouble. Person says, you know what? I keep the halakha, that's it. Halakha, okay. Halakha, what about the feeling? What about the spirit? What about helping other people? There's no halakha of how many times you have to do it. There's no minimum, there's no maximum. Elu dvarim she'elam shiur. Some things have no quantities. The laws of chesed, there's no quantities. There's no minimum, there's no maximum. So a person can say, you know what, I went to someone to see the hospital in the hospital once a week, and that's my quantity, and that's what I'm doing. But maybe there's another opportunity, maybe someone else needs help. So a person says, no, I did my job already, that's it. No, I can't give more. I can't do more. A person's got to go beyond the requirements of the law. Yes?
That's my dilemma. I go to a lot of schools during the day, and I always make it my habit to talk to the security guard and to the custodians, how are you? And they're great. They're so happy, you know. And I talk to them. But then I was reading Victor Miller's book last night about happiness, and he says it's best to be silent, not to just chit chat. Where do you draw the line between being friendly?
You have to be friendly. You have to be number one. You have to be friendly. It's a kiddush Hashem. You be friendly and hi and how.
I like the fact that you know.
But that's it. How much you don't have to chit chat. You don't have to spend 10 hours on it.
No, a few minutes. But then, Victor Miller says that
depends how many. Minutes you have to cut down a little bit. Not a few minutes is too much.
A few minutes is too much.
1 minute max.
Okay,
that's enough.
All
right. So they have their job to do. You have their job to do.
Right, but I always like to give a smile to.
Just nice. Oh, smile. Say hi.
Okay. Yes.
How you doing? And that's it. Smile. Hi and bye.
Okay.
That's
If you ask how you're doing.
By the way, it's very important. The security guards are very important. The most important people to say hello to.
Why?
Because usually they're bored. And they pay attention to who says hi, who smiles at them. They pay attention to everything.
And the custodians. Yes,
100%.
You know, 100%. 100%.
And you never know what could happen from that. That's Kiddush Hashem. And again, the word goes out. Jews are nice people.
Exactly.
It goes out. It really does go out.
I think that if you ask how are you, that you should wait for an answer.
Okay, fine. Of course, I'll just say, how are you? Bye. How are you? Bye.
No, I'm really, yeah.
How are you?
You have to wait. You have to wait for an answer.
Good point.
Yeah, they usually say, how are you? You say, fine. Baruch Hashem.
It's a disturbing thing to me.
Right.
I'm fuzzy. Yeah.
Good. No, wait for an answer.
I try to listen if I ask.
No, but I'm saying, but in general, you know, how much time do you have? Who is it? Rav Moshe Feinstein would dafka go to the tolls with a person there and say hello to the person. That's what the story is. I don't know. But he was saying, I don't want to go to the machine. I'd rather go to the person and say hello to the person. I don't know. These are hard questions. These are questions which the Torah does not talk about, and that's why you need the book. You need the book of Bereshit. What would Abraham Avinu have done? Would he go to the person or go to the machine? I don't know. On the other hand, you're troubling the person. You're troubling yourself because it takes much longer now. So balagan. Easy pass. Thank you.
Now that story is true. So I think Rabbi Wein tells it.
It's a good story.
That's
right, exactly.
Rabbi Feinstein said.
Okay, we are now moving on to page 30, the Maharal. There are three aspects to a person's ideal state. And this, he says, the Maharal, this beautiful Maharal, this is how he explains the Magen David, right? Magen David is two triangles. Yeah. Two triangles. What are the three pillars of Jewish life? Torah, Avodah, Gemilut HaSadim. So what is Torah?
What we're doing now.
I know, what is it trying to achieve? Torah is to change who we are. It's inside, internal. We have to be able to judge ourselves by the light of the Torah and change who we are. That's what Torah does. Torah is internal. And that's inside. So Torah gives us relationship with ourselves. Because otherwise, who am I? What am I? I don't know. How am I going to measure myself? The Torah gives us the ability to measure oneself. So here's the litmus test. Here's what the Torah says. How do I measure up to what the Torah says? Right? Torah gives us a way to measure who we are. It's like a weighing scale, in a sense. A spiritual weighing scale. We can say, here, this is the Torah. This is the greats. How do I measure by these standards? So it's not so great. I mean, how do I measure? I don't know. Not too great. Okay, so that's number one. Torah is oneself. Avodah is Adam l'makom, between us and God. And the Gemilus HaSadim is? Yeah, that's a triangle of Jewish of the Magen David. Torah, Avodah, Gemilus HaSadim.
Could you give it in English?
Torah is ourselves, perfecting ourselves. The mission of the Torah is to perfect ourselves. The purpose of Avodah, which is Tefillah and Mitzvot, is to connect to Hashem, to perfect our relationship with God. And the purpose of Gimelut HaSadim, which is doing kindness, is to help other people, to have good relationships with other people. It's so important to have good relations with other people. It's so hard. It's probably the hardest part of the three. Okay, I can talk to myself all I want, right? No problem. I can talk to Hashem all he wants, no problem. But talking to other people, oh boy, they reply. That's where the troubles are. The troubles are human relations. Oh boy, that's the joker in the pack. So that's what Yitzhak withdrew with himself. He was working on himself. That's probably the easiest thing to do. Avraham Avinu was a fantastic, when it comes to other people, genius. Human relations. Some people are just, and there's a thing, Rabbi Dr. Gardner, right? The eight types of what is it?
Intelligence.
So social intelligence. Some people are just naturally socially intelligent. They know how to talk to people. They know how to communicate. You see it with your kids. Some kids are very good at it. Some kids are very intellectual, but they're very poor social skills. They have bad social skills. Every kid has their own strengths and weakness. So Hashem makes up. There's a balance. Hashem makes up for things, right? So he says, you know what, I'm terrible at math. But can you talk to people? Yeah, I can talk to people. The other guy says, I'm very good at math, but I can't talk to people. So but anyway, these three parts to Judaism, it's like a triangle. So why the double triangle? Why the Magen David? So the Maharal of Prague says a beautiful thing.
It's Eretz Israel and Israel, Torah. There's another Rabbi
Elbow. Yes. Torah, Eretz Israel, Ve'olam Haba.
Ve'olam Haba.
There's always threes. Groups of threes is amazing. They usually come down to this point. And the point is chesed. Chesed, which is kindness, act of kindness between man and man. Torah is me and myself, perfecting myself. And avodah is me and God. Three paths of the triangle, right? Me and myself, me and other people, me and God. Three parts of the triangle. So why the double triangle in the Magen David? So he says the other triangle is the communal triangle. One triangle is an individual triangle. We all have our own triangles. And then there's a communal triangle, which is the community itself. How does it respond to people in need? How does it respond to Hashem? And how does this respond to itself? How does the community perfect itself? So we as a community, like we have the Bikur Holi Raritan Valley, right? We have a mikveh. These are how the community responds to these three things. The communal needs also. So we also have to have the organs. The community has to make sure these organs exist in the community. Every Jewish community must have a free loan, a gemach, a free loan fund. I think they have one.
This community has several.
Good. You know, if you could give me the addresses later on, I can. someone just asked me last week. You know the information?
I can find
thank
it.
You, thank you,
I don't
thank
know
you.
It off the top of my head.
Okay, thank you.
Billy Bogner. Billy Bogner.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so give me the numbers after. Okay. So those are three aspects. Now, where does the Torah say this? It doesn't say this. It's a Mishnah. Mishnah Pirkei Avot, right? Amaran Gamaliel. I think Rabban Gamaliel says, "Ha'olam omed al shlosha dvarim. Al shlosha dvarim ha'olam omed al Torah v'medag v'lasim." So it's oral law. But where do we learn these oral laws from? The answer we learned from Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. Abraham was Chesed. Yitzhak was Gvura. And Yaakov was Emet. Titen Emet Yaakov. Truth. So Abraham was chesed, which is going acts of kindness to other people. Yitzhak was gvura, which is, we said, avodat Hashem. because he was a korban. And Yaakov was a synthesis of Hesek Gura and Hashem. He's giving other people, he's giving Hashem, and he is perfecting himself. So there's three things. And he was perfect. He says Yaakov was the highest level. He's really the lowest level, but he's a synthesis. See, a synthesis is the highest level. You're right, but he worked on himself. He got to the stage where he apologized, right? Did he apologize for it or not?
Yeah.
Yeah, he suffered for it. He apologized for it, he suffered for it. So that's the hardest part. We all fall. What's the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha? So there's a Mishle. Mishle says, Yipol ha-tzaddik shiva v'kam. A tzaddik falls seven times and he gets up. Which means the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha is, a tzaddik, we all fall. Everyone in life falls. A tzaddik just keeps pulling himself up. Rasha says, I fell, that's it, I tried, I failed. What more can I do? That's it, give up. I can't keep it, it's too much. Judaism is too much for me, it's too hard for me, the mitzvah is too much for me, I'm going to keep it. I can't do it. A tzaddik falls, and he says, listen, I'll do teshuvah, and I'll try again. And that's our lives. Our lives are basically climbing, falling, climbing, falling, climbing, falling. That's our lives.
Right.
That's our lives. Hashem says, I'm going to give you reward according to your efforts. So every time you climb, I'm going to give you reward. So every time you fall, you have another opportunity to climb even higher. That's how we should view life. It's climbing and falling and climbing and falling. So I fell. Okay, now I'll pick myself up. I'll pray to Hashem for help and I'll climb even higher now. So that's our lives. Okay, so we have these elements. What are these three elements? Us and ourselves. Me and God and me and people. Me and ourselves, us ourselves, with Hashem and with people. That's how we're going to be judged. And then we keep those three. How are you yourself? What were your bidot? Were you a good person inside? Which means, a person's got to examine their thoughts. That's how they know who they are. A person has only good thoughts about people. He's a good person. A person always has nasty thoughts. I hate that one. I hate that one. I'm going to pay that one back. I bear a grudge against this one. That's all they think about all day. Even though they do good things, they're evil people inside. Hashem doesn't like that. Hashem likes those who have pure hearts. How do we know? It's one of the most important tehillim is number 24. Is it 24? I think so. 24. 23 is Psalm 23. Well, no, Psalm 23. What about Psalm 24? Mi ale behar Hashem. Who will climb the mountain of God? Mi amod b'mkom shekotcho. Neki kapayim bar levav. A person with clean hands and a pure heart. So clean hands are very important. What about the pure heart? That's the hard part. I didn't steal, I didn't do anything, I didn't do any bad to my friend, but what was your heart like? Was your heart inside, was it good, or was this, I hate that guy, but I'm not going to do anything. I hate this guy, but I hate him. So Bar Levav is a pure heart. That's a, I don't know. I don't know. Okay. That's interesting because... the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva went to Rome. And we talked about yesterday. Rabbi Akiva went to Rome. And one Roman told Rabbi Akiva, he says, whose creation is better? Man's creation or God's creation? Whose creation is better? Man's creation or God's creation? Quickly, come on. God's, right? Rabbi Akiva says, man's creation. So Roman says, you're a blasphemer. How can you say so? You're a rabbi. What kind of rabbi are you? God's... He said, listen, God gave us the wheat. What does man make out of it? Bread. God gave us stones. What does man make out of it?
Houses.
Right. So does God create raw material, but man has to perfect it. Because he knew where the guy's going. Where is he going? He says, you guys, the Roman was intended to say, how can you make a Brit Milah? You're saying God's creation is not so good. You have to fix God's creation. So he's answering, listen, man's creation, that's the purpose. Man just fixes God's creation. Our purpose in life is God gave us raw materials. He gave us who we are. And we have to fix it. As a person's born, a kid is born, that's raw material. Who fixes the raw material? We have to fix the raw material. No one's going to fix it for us. He's not going to fix it for us. Hashem gave us this world. Who's going to fix the world? He's not going to fix it for us. He gave up on that already. I tried my best. Listen, I did this miracle, this miracle, this miracle. Now you guys, Hester upon him. It's all yours, guys. You fix it for yourself. So your kid messed up his bedroom. You know, just walk away and say, it's your bedroom, now you fix it. I'm going to walk away. I'm not going to look after you all my life. That's it. You're independent now. Hashem says, we're independent. We're grown up. We have to do it ourselves. So we have to work on these three areas of life. Page 32. Rav Soloveitchik, the Brisker Rav, was asked once, why does the Torah never command people regarding the need to develop good character traits? The Torah doesn't say don't get angry. The Torah says don't be greedy. It doesn't say a lot of traits. He answered, he said, the Torah was given to human beings who are meant to be first a mensch. It's a Ladino word. First being a mensch. You have to be a mensch to get the Torah. Because the Torah is not given to animals. The Torah was given to people who should be already on that level of Derech Eretz Kadma le Torah. What does that mean? Derech Eretz, civilization, being civilized. Derech Eretz means being civilized. So how can you learn civilization without Torah? How do you learn civil society without Torah? No, forget, Pekah was part of the Torah, it wasn't around. How would you learn? So the Gemara says you learn from the animals. We learn. You can learn cleanliness from the cat. You learn industriousness. Shlomo HaMelech says, how does he say? He says, "Atzel, the lazy guy, go to the ants. Go and learn from the ants how to be industrious. Learn from the animals. Learn faithfulness from the dog. The person who just observes how nature works. Say, I got to learn from this. I got to learn how to be clean. Cats are clean. Dogs are faithful. The ants are industrious. I learn this, you know." So before even the Torah is given, this person's got to be smart enough to be able to learn these things just from looking around them. That's very hard to do.
He also teaches us that the Torah elevates us from being an animalistic.
Well, hopefully that his answer was, you shouldn't be an animal. To get the Torah, you can't be an animal. In other words, to say a human being is an animal is to insult the animals. It really is an insult to animals. Say Hitler was a beast is an insult to beasts. He was way lower than a beast. Way lower. Beasts don't do these things. They don't do these things. They don't kill people unless they're hungry. They don't kill people for the sake of killing. They're not sadistic. So the answer is God gave the Torah to decent human beings. Being a decent human being is a prerequisite to receiving the Torah. That's a very. I don't agree 100% with this answer he gave, but that was a Biskarav. Biskarav gave this answer. The Torah is given to people who behave in a civil society.
Because we spoke before about learning Torah to learn how to behave.
Yes.
Right. So. But I guess you have to have a foundation of decency.
Yes. So anyway, so we see that that's the first book of Bereshit, basically. First book of Bereshit is preparation to giving the Torah. First, you have to be like Avraham Avinu. Oh, that's a very high... How am I going to be like Avraham Avinu? I don't know. It's a very high level. You've got to be like Yitzhak, self-control. We learn self-control from Yitzhak. He was always manipulated, but he never did anything to other people. He never manipulated other people. He was a man of Gvura. You couldn't phase him. You couldn't trigger him. Everything is within. Everything is controlled. When his son tricks him, he doesn't get angry. It's very strange. He does not lose it once. You don't find Yitzhak. His father ties him up and wants to shecht him. Nothing. No response. Total self-control. That's mastery on oneself. That's Gevurah. Gevurah is total self-control. There's no triggers. Yitzhak has no triggers. The only ones he did was, only response was Chareda Gedola Al Meod. He trembled. Which it means that he was trying to control himself. He was trying to he was really going to go lash out, but he controlled himself and put it all within. Everything went inside. The tremble. That's my spin on it. But you see, he trembled, but he didn't do anything. When Esav came in, he trembled, but he didn't do anything. So he was totally in control. Mastery, that's mastery. So Abraham is chesed, Yitzhak is mastery. Yaakov knew how to deal with situations. He knew how to educate his children, because he knew how to handle both the chesed and the kvura. And that's what we have to try and do before we get Matan Torah. Because they were pre-Matan Torah. This is how we have to act before Matan Torah. So can you imagine after Matan Torah how we have to be? Oh boy, we're failures. I'm talking about myself. Be like Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. Pre-Matan Torah, we have to be even after Matan Torah, or even better than that. So we have to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. that's harder. And Aaron, Moshe Aaron, huh?
You don't have to be like,
well, they're our role models. Yeah, you don't have to be like them, but you have to be like them, but no, you can't be them. You have to be like them. You can't be them. You can be like them. We can emulate them. Okay, we are going to stop here, and we will continue. We'll start, hopefully we'll start the book. This is all introduction, and then we have another introduction.